Blog Talk Radio. Children of Israel had fire by night and clouds by day. You kept them cool in the desert sun as you keep us cool right now. To understand that you are in charge of the weather. You are in charge of the air. You are in charge of everything. Giving the little G's credit. Father God, I pray for all nations in the world. I pray that level heads will prevail, that those who understand the devastation of war will speak to those that think of human life as trash to be thrown away for powerful people. Father God, I pray. For Israel, I pray for Hamas, not Hamas. I pray for the Palestinians. Lord, you will take care of Hamas. You will take care of all terrorist organizations who do harm, more harm than good, for the people they claim to represent. So, Father, I pray for the Palestinian people, not for terrorist organizations. I put them in your hand. I put all those that will spew hate and rhetoric in your hands, Lord. But you will handle it. But Lord God, we want to bow down to none other than you. We want to worship you in spirit and truth. So Father God, I lift this word up this morning, asking you as I do every day in my life to increase as I decrease. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength, and you, Lord God, are my redeemer. So I give myself away as I seek more of you. Use me, Lord God, for your glory. Remove me and replace me with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Again, giving honor to the Most High God, asking for all my sins, seen and unseen, thought that all I do be pleasing in his sight. Lord, you know all that I need to get done, and I ask you, Lord, to bring angels to help, for you know all that I need is you. And we are going this morning out of our Psalms. This is Psalm, Proverb, and New Testament Sunday. We had a great time. Woo! Did we have a great time on Friday in the book of Judges. We talked about the mother of Israel, Deborah. We talked, an awesome judge that she was. We talked about Gideon. We talked about the woman Jael, who killed a king for Israel. Thing we knew is that when you seek the Lord, you will find him, and he will answer your prayers. I seek the Lord today. I seek him for you. I seek him for me. I seek him in his word. And I can say this, his word is a great word today. And for those that are just joining us, we are coming out of Psalm, Proverbs, and Luke today. Our psalm is starting at the 48th Psalm, starting in verse 9. And we will be going all the way to verse number 20, 49. And our proverb word this morning is Proverbs. Chapter 14, starting at verse number 18, and we will go to chapter 14, verse number 24. And in our New Testament word, we are at Luke chapter 14, starting at verse 25, to Luke chapter 15, ending at verse 32, on this 21st day of April. And let's get started. Get your Bibles out, for this is Bible study. And before I go any further, I want to give condolences to classmates, families, to the Patterson family who laid to rest my old friend, Deborah, who passed away, and to the Bogart family in Las Vegas, who also put to rest my friend, Taranki. We all have known each other since we were little bitty kids. Unfortunately, with time, you know, we forget and we move away and we don't stay in touch. So I say this to family. I say this to all of you. Stay in touch with the friends that you grew up with. Stay in touch with the people that you were close to. Stay in touch, because as you grow up and grow older, you miss out on a friendship that will last forever. I thank God for my good friends that I have continuously stayed in touch with. But those that I was good friends with and didn't, I ask forgiveness.
never know when our time will be up. And I'm grateful that the last time I saw it and was able to just laugh and talk with Taranki was our, I believe, our 40th class reunion. And we had a great time. We laughed so hard because he was so funny. And I just called him Dapper Dan because he was always dressed to the nines. Had a hat always with his cane, and he was just too fantastic. But I say today, never forget the people that you grow up with, because you never know. You may not get to see them again. So let's get into the word this morning. And I bind the spirit of a little horseman. So I get my water. We're clearing it up. We got water for the soul and living water for the spirit. Hallelujah. I should say water for the body and living water for the soul. So let's get started. You got your Bibles? I pray that you do. Please join me. I am in the New King James Version. My King James readers, you should be able to follow me very closely as we move forward in the Word of God. 48 Psalm, starting at verse number 9. We have thought, O Lord, on your loving kindness in the midst of your temple. According to your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of your judgments. Walk about Zion and go all around her. Count her towers. Mark well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. But this is God, for our God, he will be our guide, even to death. Even again, I say to you, the Lord God seeks the lost. For this is God, I say it again, our God forever and ever. He will be our guide, even to death. Because he seeks the lost, he will guide us as he finds us. Hallelujah. And as we go into the 48th Psalm, verse 10, according to your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. God desires our very best praise and worship, for he has the very best name in all the universe. The style never matters so much as the heart. Regardless of what we sing, do we bring to him our best? Oh, what a word. Do we bring to God our best? For praise and worship teams, do you bring to God your best? Hallelujah. And as we go into our Psalms, chapter 49, verse number 1. To the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world. Both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will disclose my dark thing on the harp. Why should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast in their multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of the soul is costly, and it shall cease forever, that he should continue to live eternally and not see the pit. We don't want to see the pit tomorrow. We don't want to be in the pit for eternity. And it says, for he sees wise men die. Likewise, the fool and the senseless person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inner thought is that their houses will last forever, their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man, though in honor, does not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the way of those who are foolish, and of their prosperity who approve their sayings, Selah. Like sheep, they are led in the grave. Death shall feed on them. The upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall be consumed in the grave, far from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, Selah. Do not be afraid when one becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased, for when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. Can I say that again? For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lives, he blesses himself, for men will praise you when you do well for yourself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. A man who is in honor yet does not understand is like a beast that perishes. Wow. But God is saying, I will seek you. God seeks his children. God looks for us. God wants us to know that we are loved, that we are thought of, and that he wants us to be the best we can be. And as we go to a life lesson for chapter 49 of our psalm, verse 15 says, God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. Death will overtake all of us unless we are still alive when Jesus comes back. But one day, come on now, can you say it with me? One day, God will break the power of death over us and bring us into fullness of life, where he will receive us in Jesus' name. 49th Psalm, verse 20, a man who is in honor yet does not understand is like the beast that perish. Amassing a fortune or winning the admiration of millions counts for exactly nothing on the eternal scale if the person in question does not know the Lord. I got to read this again. This is a today word. We see it every time you turn on the TV, every time you listen to the news. It's about some wealthy person who everybody wants to be like Mike. They all want to be this. They all want to be that. They all want to gravitate to who they think has the most money, has the most power, can talk the biggest game, the biggest con artist. And it says, as what is it, Barnum and Bailey says, a fool is found every day. And sometimes we act so foolish over industry people, over the actors and actresses, over the talk show hosts, over the people that are on television every week. We get all giddy for them like they are our idols, and some folks act just like they are. And it says in our word, a man who is in honor yet does not understand amassing a fortune or winning the admiration of millions counts for exactly nothing on the eternal scale if the person in question does not know the Lord. If you don't know God, if you don't know him, and you got all the stuff in the world, it means absolutely nothing. Because understand, family, you cannot take anything with you, not even the clothes on your back. You may look real good in your car, but when everything is said and done, your clothes will still be here. Your body will still be here, but your soul will be gone. And when your soul leaves the body, it does not leave with the clothes on your back. It does not leave with your bank account. It does not leave with anything but itself, your soul. And understand, you want your soul to be goodness and light. You want to hear one day when we all come together as one, you will hear the Lord say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And that is what we want. We don't want to go running through the wide gate with everybody else. We want to see, Lord, let me have my skinny self that I can get through. Even if I got to squeeze through, I'm going through that narrow gate. Hallelujah. Proverbs 14:18-19. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The evil will bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. Hallelujah. What a word this morning. Proverbs chapter 14, verses 20, starting at verse 20. The poor man is hated even by his own neighbor. Come on now. But the rich has many friends. He who despises his neighbor's sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. What are you doing for someone besides yourself and your ilk? Are you giving food to the homeless? Are you inviting them to church? Are you making sure they get at least one hot meal a week, if that's all you can do? But make sure that it is good. Hallelujah. And as we go back into our proverb this morning, it tells us, do they not go astray who devise evil? Come on now. But mercy and truth belong to those who devise good. If somebody is always screaming and hollering, negativity, nothing positive, nothing good, always negative, always black and dark, look at their soul. Look at their soul. Is their soul right with God? Are they one of the 99, or are they the one that God is trying to bring back into the fold? We got to pray for them. We also got to be smart when dealing with them. Because, again, the word tells us, do they not go astray who devise evil? But mercy and truth belong to those who devise good. In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. The foolishness of fools is, and we got to remember that, because we don't want to be foolish. We want God to find us. The Lord God seeks the lost. If you are lost, you want to be found. That's why they have the lost and found. Hallelujah. I have a grandson. Lord, this baby will leave his coat because he gets hot. And the first thing that goes is his coat. His coat has been lost so many times that we don't know where his coat is. It might be at school, but we checked the lost and found it's not there. We don't know what he has done with that coat. Picked it up and kept on moving. Somebody obviously did. But it was my grandson who left it, who threw it down because he got hot. And all I could hear is, so hot. I'm so hot. Mom, so hot. Okay, let's not. Let's go get under the fan. Let's get in the air. I'm just so hot. You know, I don't want covers on. I'm just hot. And then you go back in the middle of the morning to check on him, and he covered up from head to toe because that room got a little chilly. He might have been hot going to bed, but the chill came on later because I know my house is filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And I thank God for his presence as he watches over my family. I can't do nothing more than say thank you, Lord. And as we go into our book of Luke this morning, Jesus is speaking on the lost. Our title is coming out of Luke chapter 5. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And I thank God that he didn't give up on me. I thank God that he didn't give up on his search for me. I thank God that he brought me back into his house, because I left. I didn't leave him, but I left the flock because I had my own little issues, and I allowed the trick of the enemy to get me away from the communion of faith. And we got to watch as well as pray. Because even there are devils in the church that are, their job is to get people out. They say things to hurt people's feelings. So the person becomes going to church anymore. We cannot have that. We got to know that we, once all of us, were lost. Especially the righteous. We all were lost. And Daddy God came and looked for us. And he found us. And we have to be grateful that we were lost and found. I remember as a child, I'm giving a testimony. I am not saying I was always good, because I wasn't. I was something else. I tried to be good, though. I have to admit, I tried, but I still messed up. And God always punished me for it. But I was trying to hang out, cool kids, with the folks that do things that they should not do. Even though I wasn't doing anything, I was still in the midst. And where I grew up, there was a corner store. And I went in the corner store with a group of kids. And they were shoplifting. But I was the one keeping the owner distracted, because he knew me, because I shopped for my parents who were senior citizens. And I would go to the store to grab stuff, little stuff for them, and I would take it home. And so we had even an account at the store that all I would say is just put it on our account. And my parents would pay it up at the end of the month. End of the month, and then they put it on the tab. But I decided to go with these group of friends, our so-called friends. Be careful of who you hang out with. And they were shoplifting in the grocery store. And they got busted, because he had mirrors all over the place. And he's talking to me, he's watching the mirrors and watching them put candy in their pockets. And they didn't get out of the store. He made them all put the stuff back. And then he said, including me, he put us all out and said, you cannot come back into this store. Now, understand, my parents sent me to this store regularly. It was heartbreaking, because I knew that eventually I would get caught. That I was with the wrong people that my parents had told me not to hang out with. But I was with them anyway and got kicked out. And sure enough, the time came where I got sent to the store to get some things from my family, from my mom and dad. And instead of going to the store, because I knew I wasn't allowed in, I went to my aunt's house. I went down to my aunt's house, played with my cousins, laughed and talked with my auntie to see my mother, you know, because she lived with my auntie. But my parents, again, thought I was at the grocery store. So I was gone for a little while, when it only is like a 5-minute walk to and from, and it only takes about 5 or 10 minutes to get what you need to get. So, needless to say, I should have been home at least within a half an hour. So, an hour and a half had passed, 2 hours at that. And it was starting to get a little dusk, even though the stores was open until about 6 o'clock. And it was now probably around 4:30. So I knew that I was going to have to go home and face the piper. I was going to have to go home and tell my parents that I had been hanging out with the wrong folks and that I got kicked out of the store and that I couldn't get what they sent me to the store to get. And as I'm walking home, dejected, after I done went and played, hung out with everybody in the family, headed home with my head down, because I knew I was going to have to face what was to come. Head down, looking for me, because I wasn't home, and I should have been home within that half an hour. But an hour had passed, and close up, maybe an hour and a half. And he was like, this ain't going to tell me right. She out there, they all knew I would like to play with my friends, play kickball, play games, play jumping jacks, play jacks. Jump rope, play jacks. I'll just look, play, run around, race up and down the street. And they felt like maybe I got distracted. But when he saw me coming home with my head down, at first he wanted to make sure nothing had happened to me and that I was all right. Father looks for their lost child. He wanted to know that I was good, that I was okay. And then when he met me, we met right at the door of the store. And my head was down. And the tears had started. And I realized I had to tell my dad I couldn't go in the store. And he wanted to know why I couldn't go in the store. And I said, because I was with some folks that was stealing. But I wasn't stealing. I promise I wasn't stealing. And he took me inside the store. And the owner, looking at my face, looking at my dad, knew I was in some serious trouble. But he came and he said she was not stealing. But I couldn't let her come back in and kick them out. I had to kick all of them out. But she can come back in. Because my dad made me apologize that I was with the wrong people at the wrong time. And I apologized. And I promised that I would never be with anybody shoplifting again. Thing is that my dad came to find me. He was wondering where his lost child was. And I tell you this, parents that love their children will do whatever they can to find you. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus brought me in. I'm grateful that Jesus loved me enough to send my dad to find me. And I know he would have looked over the whole neighborhood to find me. And that's what God does. He looks all over to find us. And when we go into the book of Luke, it says, now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king goes to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill. But men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Luke 14:26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate, and you're like, whoa, wait a minute, Jesus, you're telling me to hate my mother? But the word of God says to love my mother, to love my father, to actually, the word of God says to honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long on this earth. But you're saying to hate them? And to hate my own life also? And if I don't, I can't be a disciple. I don't understand. But then Dr. Stanley says that Jesus calls for an exclusive commitment to the Father through him in comparison to our love for him. Everything else, everything should look like hatred. He alone must be enthroned in our hearts. We got to put him first. We got to put him first. And it's sometimes hard. You're like, but Lord, I want to do this, that, and the other. But he said, you got to put me first. And that is like, wow. You know, there's a meeting you want to go to. And say there's a meeting in the ladies' room. And you want to go. But you got to put that meeting with your girls to do the will of God. What do you choose to your girls and your friends and what's going on in the world? Or do you choose God? I choose God. I choose God over the birthday party. I choose God over the sorority meeting. I choose God over anything and everything. Even cleaning my house, God knows it needs to be clean. But it's like, but Lord, I need to stay home. And God's like, but I need you. Post. And you have to go because God said go. You have to do because God said do. Who do you choose? As Joshua said, choose you this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Are you willing and ready to serve God? Are you going to say yes? Because it's not easy. Folks look at pastors and think, oh, they got it easy. All they got to do is this, that, and the other. They don't know that churches are business, and pastors, senior pastors, are CEOs. They got to be in charge of everything, charge of the operation of the ministry. And if they fall, the ministry can fall. So they have to work, and they have to do all that they do. And it is not easy. Never think it's easy. It's not. And then we go into chapter 15, which is where our title is coming from, which is where my testimony came from on being lost. And it said that all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. Again, what did he say? I didn't come for the righteous. I came for the sinner. That's who he came for. And that's who gravitated to him, because they were seeking salvation. Church bodies should be filled with sinners seeking salvation. And that's what we have to do. Seek, and we will be found. And it says this, and the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who needs no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. I'm grateful that God didn't give up on me, one little girl lost and can't go into the store. I'm glad that he sent me a father who was willing to come and look for me. Sure, I was okay to make sure that I did not stray, to make sure that he brought me home. Hallelujah. I thank God for my parents, and I thank God for my mother who gave them to me. We got to get out of everybody judging everybody else when you don't know their story. I'm grateful that God gave me grandchildren. I'm grateful that God gave me a daughter and a godson, and gave me from my body, that he gave me that special bonus child. I'm grateful for these five young people in my life. I'm grateful for all the young people whose lives I poured into, and who, when they see me still to this day, and many haven't seen me in 8, 9, 10 years, will say, hi, Miss Bridget. We miss you. Thank you for pouring into my life. You can't help, and you just see those children doing good. One of my kids, to my heart, always had a pretty big old smile. I had to give blood at my doctor's office. And this, we were in the mask, so you couldn't see anybody's faces. But I knew that, those eyes. And I'm looking at her, and she's looking at me. And then when she pulls up and says, your name is, and then she screams, Miss Bridget. And I look at her, and she pulls the mask down. I'm like, hey. And it's a hug fence in the doctor's office. And she takes my blood, and can I say, the best phlebotomist I've ever had. This girl found the veins, took the blood, and we was done and talking in all of less than 2 seconds and a half. That's what I'm talking about. When we pour in to our children, because some may be lost. But as men and women of God working in ministry, we've got to find that one. Because that one is more important to God than all the 99 who are saved, set free, and filled up. We've got to look up, lift up, and pray. And then Jesus gives the parable of a sign. That went astray. And it says, and then he said, a certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Now understand, dad's not dead. So he wants his inheritance before dad dies, before dad dies. That would be like my son saying, Mom, you got to sell your house because I want my stuff now. And it says, so he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into his fields to feed. And you know, a person of Jewish descent or Hebrew does not deal with pigs, does not touch them, does not eat them, does not want anything to do with swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swines ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and a sandal on his feet and bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his oldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go. And therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandments. You never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me. All that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Are you looking for your lost today? Are you seeking God for that lost child that does not know him? Are you seeking God today for your lost brother or sister? Are you seeking God today for yourself who is lost in sin? I'm grateful today that my daddy looked for me. I'm grateful today that God set me free. I'm grateful for today that the Lord knows me and he will never leave me or forsake me. Think that through and love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. For the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Are you seeking? Are you loving God today? And as we get ready to wrap up this morning, what a word. I'm filled up that God found me. I'm grateful that he knows my name. I'm grateful that I once was lost in sin, but God took me in. And it says, as I know it, this world and its desires are in the process of passing away. But those who love to do the will of God live forever. 1 John 2:17 from the TPT. Lord, when I consider the works of your hand, when I look around me and see your wonderful creation, I can't help but marvel at your creativity. I also can't help but notice the decay of the earth. This world won't last forever as is. It's changing every day, and so am I. You are the only thing that does not ever change. You are consistent in your goodness, always offering the fruit of your kingdom to those who are joined to you. The longer I walk this earth, the wearier I am of the world's priorities and its ways. The only thing that truly matters, the life that you offer. Your lavish love is astounding. It can't be measured. It will lead us into your everlasting kingdom that will never show any signs of wear. It will not be overcome. It will not decay. Thank you for an eternal hope, Lord. And the question for this morning, before we have a word from Sister Carolyn, is this. When this life has you discouraged, do you take hope that there is a better life in store? Do you believe that when you're lost, your Father will find you? And a word from Sister Carolyn this morning is this. Good morning. I pray that the Lord of peace himself gives you peace at all times and in every way. And that was sent on yesterday. Have a super Saturday. And I say, have a safe, set free Sunday, because you are a child of God and you are loved by him. And as I was working on this lesson this morning, a song that I used to listen to as a child, and it was by a country group called the Oak Ridge Boys, and I love me some Oak Ridge Boys. And the one song that they sang was Just a Little Talk to Jesus. And I just want to give some words to you before we leave. If there's anyone that has a word, push the number one now. And I just want to give these words. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. He bathed my heart in love. He wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus makes me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, and he will answer by and by. And when you feel a little prayer will turn, and you will know a little fire is burning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Woo! Hallelujah. And I love this last verse. It's not the last, but it's the one I'm going to give. I may have doubts and fears. My eyes be filled with tears. But Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer. He knows my every care. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. And then it says again, now let us, family, have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, and he will answer by and by. Tell God today, thank you, that when you were lost, he found you. Tell God how much you love him, because he loves you best and loves you first. Have a little talk with Jesus today, and know the Lord God seeks the lost. Whatever is lost, us, our children, God will find them. And all we have to do is have a little talk with Jesus. And that is our word for this morning. We don't have any callers that want to speak. So we are wrapping it up. And I say to you today, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And remember, as we say every day, every Sunday, find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Don't sit in just any pew because the pastor's popular, because the church is popping. If they're not teaching the Word of God, if the Word of God is not opened, find another church, one that believes in the Word of God and one that teaches it and preaches it and walks it and reads it and lives it. Believe God that he will guide you where he wants you to go. Have a little talk with Jesus and watch him work in your life. And that is our word for this morning. Be blessed, family, and know that you are a child of God and that you are loved by him. It is a wrap. It's a wrap. Time to go and get ready for church. Have a blessed day.